Coming up on today's episode, we're recapping the Super Bowl. What happened? Why Kansas City won? Why San Francisco is leading by 10 points again 4 years later at the Super Bowl and can't close the deal? Get on to the facts and whatnot. And what? Can Kansas City go back to back to back? All that coming up. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Sports Stuff in the Crib, and I'm your host, Tanner Christian. And coming on today's episode, we're discussing all the Super Bowl recap and what plays could have happened, should have happened. How did you like that halftime show? And we'll get into offseason moves for the Kansas City Chiefs. What next after their victory? Can they go back to back to back? Is it possible they've now joined? And are they a dynasty? Because they've now joined the Patriots in the first team to win back to back since them. And early 2000s. So, remember, if you're new, check out the episode. New episodes are airing every Tuesday and Friday. It's available on all streaming platforms as well on the website at sportstalkfromthecrib.com. And be sure to follow us on social media at Feely Heat Entertainment as Feely Heat ENT. We're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and X. So give us a follow and subscribe to those channels as well. And let's talk about it. Let's get into the Super Bowl, get into a lot of the stats and whatnot. The Chiefs defeated the Niners 25-22. Kind of a little bit of odd scoring there. You know what I would expect that to happen. Remember, our predictions were the Niners were like 27-24. So I went against Pat Mahomes. You guys, what do they expect? You know, I had to try it. You know, I keep telling myself not to. Just didn't want to believe it, but it happened. Brock Purdy for the Niners, 23-38, 255 yards and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey had a pretty good Super Bowl, 22 carries, 80 yards, 8 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown. And then also for the Niners, Ayuk, 3 catches, 49 yards. Juwan Jennings had 4 catches, 42 yards, a TD. He also threw one to McCaffrey, a little trick play that happened in the first quarter. And for the Chiefs, Pat Mahomes, 34-46, 333 yards. The majority of that really coming in the second half. 2 TDs, 1 pick. He also had 9 carries for 66 yards. So he utilized his legs. That was a big difference in the game. Pacheco, 59 rushing yards, 33 receiving. Travis Kelce, 9 catches, 93 yards. Oh, reliable Travis Kelce, who he says is going to be back for next year. And Mecole Hardman, 3 catches, 57 yards, including the game-winning touchdown. Let's talk about a little some of the outcomes that happened during the game. The 49ers missed that extra point. That was key. It got blocked. You know, that was one of the reasons why it was all knotted up, 19-19 or 22-22. Or no, excuse me, 19-19. At the end of regulation there. And the Chiefs and the Niners got the field goal. Chiefs end up going down and getting the touchdown because you're allowed to get your opportunity to beat the game. That's the difference in the playoffs. Even if the Niners scored a touchdown, the Chiefs were able to get down and get a touchdown. And that was the difference in the new overtime rules now. Before, it's just like, hey, you kick a field goal, the other team has a chance. If they score a touchdown, they automatically win the game. Which was the case and the outcome of what happened this time. And it happened in the Super Bowl. So, first off, congrats to the Kansas City Chiefs. They won. Fair and square, pretty much. The Niners had their opportunities. Like I said, they missed the extra point. It was a big 3rd and 4 with under 2 minutes to play. If Brock Purdy just completes that pass, they'll be able to run the clock out, kick the field goal, win the Super Bowl in overtime. They get down near inside the 5-yard line, 3rd down, pressure again by Chris Jones, threw the ball out of bounds, wide open. Juwan Jennings was wide open on that play. Brandon Ayuk was wide open on that play. These guys were wide open. It's just that the pressure of Kansas City's front on San Francisco's line, offensive line, believe it or not, was a difference in this game because Brock Purdy difference in the game is Pat Mahomes, really. Because the difference between Pat Mahomes and Brock Purdy and these other quarterbacks is just, let's say it, astronomical. Chiefs got their 3rd Super Bowl in 4 years. They went back-to-back. They have a chance to go back-to-back-to-back. Will that happen? We're going to get into that here. But as a full takeaway for this, Kyle Shanahan again had a 10-point 4th-quarter lead on the Chiefs. You know, 4 years ago, same situation, not able to close the deal. But I believe a lot of it is I believe this time around, though, he actually called a better game. Even the final drive, he called the right plays. And at the end of the game, you know, that overtime, when they had the first possession there, I like all the plays. He didn't, like, abandon the run like in years past. He kept a good balance with Chris McCaffrey and the passing game, the play action and whatnot. It's just, they didn't execute. You know, you got to play perfect against Pat Mahomes in the playoffs, because Pat Mahomes is basically perfect in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So he doesn't make much mistakes, even though he did throw an interception. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and you got to take advantage of that situation. Another really key thing, I believe, when it was near the end of that overtime, because, you know, it went down about 5 seconds. There was a point in that drive where Kyle Shanahan did call a timeout, and they reset the defense. Because I think Steve Wilkes was, I mean, the camera was shining on him. And I think he got a little nervous with his play calling. And I think that's what may have ultimately cost the Niners. Even though they were in the game, they kind of gassed a little bit. But so were the Chiefs. They made plays. And I believe what the Niners should have called a timeout on that third and goal with 5 seconds left. Because let's say the Chiefs are going for it with 5 seconds, right? Let's say it clock expires. Now, in overtime, in the playoffs now, it rolls over. So, it would be like the second quarter of the overtime. I'd rather take that on them having a fourth and goal, say, from the five, because, you know, my defense reset, and have them kick the field goal so I can get the ball back. I believe the outcome would have been a lot different. But they didn't call that timeout. They ran the same play that the Niners actually ran where they missed. And this is the same play they ran in the previous Super Bowl as well. Have the man come in motion, go back out, create the mismatch. Nobody picked up Miko Hardman. And that's the difference. And, you know, it's just Kansas City has the better player. Kansas City has a better quarterback. Pat Mahomes better than Brock Purdy. Chris Jones played, I mean, he played lights out on the defensive line for the Chiefs. And these two guys that have been the front, like Pat Mahomes, ever since he became in the league, has been the guy on offense. Chris Jones, who held out in the beginning of the year, he was the difference maker on that defense for the Super Bowl. So that's basically the outcome of the game. You know, only decided by 3 points. You feel bad for the Niners because the Niners have been so close for so many years. And they just can't get over the hump. It's almost like the Buffalo Bills. I almost like really, Buffalo went to 4 in a row and lost. This Niners team, even when Jim Harbaugh was their coach, got the NFC Championship multiple times. Got to the Super Bowl, lost. Now the Niners have gotten to Super Bowl twice in the last 4 years. They have all that talent in the world on both sides of the ball. And even going into this offseason, they're not really losing a whole lot of talent. And they just can't seem to get over that hump, that extra kick, like that, this execute on one or two more plays. Remember that Super Bowl last time when Jimmy G overthrew his man for the game-winning touchdown? You're just like, oh, if he just throws that ball like a yard and a half shorter. You know, it's just, it's a game of inches, and the Niners have been on the wrong side of it for years, and just can't seem to overcome it. And the Chiefs, meanwhile, they overcome it. Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, man. They're just elite, elite players that come around every so often. And you could argue this Pat Mahomes-Travis Kelce combo may even be better than Brady and Gronk? Possibly. So let's jump into the Chiefs' offseason. What can they do this offseason to, can they repeat back to back to back? Can they repeat? Three-peat? I don't think I've seen that one last time. I don't think that's ever, it's never happened in the NFL. It's happened, you know, of course, in the NBA with Michael Jordan. But can they three-peat? Here's some of the key situations, players that they may end up losing. Chris Jones, defensive tackle. If you tag him, he's upwards of like $32 million, it may be. So you're going to have to bring him back in a different kind of deal. I know he probably wants to be back. He held out this year. They bumped up his pay. The man deserves to get paid. Darius Sneed, like this dude played lights out at cornerback. He's a free agent. William Gay, linebacker. Donovan Smith, their left tackle. Mike Edwards, their safety. Tranquil, the other linebacker. Like, there's a lot of key pieces to this Chiefs team that are going to have to be situated. Are they going to be able to bring all those guys back? Absolutely not. That Pat Mahomes contract is really kicking in hard. So you're really going to see the effects. They can't keep everybody. And there's some other noteworthy players that may that are free agents and may leave as well. But I think Chris Jones is a huge for that defensive front. The Jerry Sneed is probably going to command a lot of money after the season he had. You know, and they're going to be possibly the guy that gets some offensive line help and wide receiver help to spy. I mean, Rashee Rice played pretty well towards the second half of the season. And they're going to definitely need help come next year when it comes to that department. I don't know how they kind of skated through these playoffs without a true number one receiver, but they had Kelsey. Had a lot to do with it. Nobody could stop it. This guy, Brady and Gronk, for some reason, everybody knows the play that's going to be ran, and they seem to just execute it to perfection. So that's something to keep an eye on the Chiefs. They are losing a lot of guys, a lot of key guys to this team, but it means to be seen, like, who they're going to bring back. If they bring back just a couple of these guys, you know, sign some people in free agency, possibly just build, you know, utilize their draft picks to perfection like they've kind of been. I mean, Trey McDuffie's been excellent. You got Bolton, a linebacker. Like, they've drafted Pacheco. Like, they really have hit on like some great, you know, players in the draft. So it kind of remains to be seen what they wanted to do going forward. But can they three-peat? That's a big question, right? And don't count them out. Put it that way. They did it differently this year. They went on the road all through up to the Super Bowl, aside from the, you know, the wild card game. So it was a different path this year. They still win. Didn't have a wide receiver core. They still win. Their defense led them a lot. Their defense is the best defense I think they've had in Kansas City in quite some time. Even though, like, the one they, you know, won previous Super Bowls, defense was, you know, solid, but not at this level. I mean, everybody played pretty damn well. It's crazy how Steve Spagnuolo, and being defensive coordinator, has really this, what he gets out of these guys, he knows how to prepare, along with Andy Reid on the offense. I mean, he got two veteran seasoned coaches in here that know, have been through the moments and know exactly what to do. So it's great, great coaching, for one, and the way they've developed these players. But can they? I think they can. I'm not counting them out anymore. I just feel like it's a given. Like, they're making the playoffs. No matter who they have, as long as Pat Mahomes is healthy, anything can happen. Even in an off year, this guy still goes out and wins Super Bowl MVP and has a near perfect postseason. Like, you know, it's just without a true number one receiver, without, you know, running game that's dominated, but like, man, they do the thing. So I really think they can. I'm not counting them out anymore. I try to count them out and go a different way for the Super Bowl. This seems like it's just destined to be for Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and these guys to constantly get to the playoffs and win Super Bowls. So, gotta say yes. Even with departures, like, say Chris Jones, Ladarius Sneed doesn't come back, I feel like they're going to make up for it in some weird, crazy way that they're going to be true underdogs again. And they're just going to make it happen. All right, now before we get out of here, we want to do, how about the halftime show? I know a lot of people may are really happy. Maybe some of them are a little bit disappointed. Blah, blah, blah. Well, my take on the halftime show, I love Usher. I love a lot of his music. And I thought it started off because, you know, he's putting way, way too much, you know, snippets in because he's trying to include all of his hits in about, what, 13 minutes, they say, 12, 13 minutes, whatever it is. He's got too many to put in that time frame. But I got to say, once Lil Jon came out and had that crowd, you know, hyped up, that took the halftime show to a whole nother level. And then Luda came out. It was awesome. Alicia Keys was very off key there when she had on the piano, but whatever. Yeah, her up there on the fake playing the guitar, but we all know they don't play instruments live at the Super Bowl. I think the last person to do it was maybe Prince. Really? I mean, I have to double check on that. But anyways, I liked everybody coming out. I don't know what Jermaine Dupri was wearing and whatnot. But yeah, I like when will.i.am for the Black Eyed Peas did this thing. Was it as great as Super Bowl halftime show ever? No. I actually liked the halftime show that Dre and Snoop and Eminem and 50 Cent did. Mary J. Blige a couple years back. And I don't think at top of that, I also liked Prince. And, you know, I liked Tom Petty. I liked the Rolling Stones. There's been other halftime shows that I've seen, you know, growing up that I've liked. And this one, I really enjoyed it. You know, for having that little bit amount of time to be up on stage and, you know, you're playing all your hits. So I really enjoyed it. I mean, he's changed costumes so many times and, you know, starts roller skating. You're doing all that in like 13 minutes. It's pretty impressive. So I, for one, had a little bit of nostalgia effect because I was in middle school and high school and Usher was doing his thing and have all the hits on the radio and growing up with that kind of music. So I personally enjoyed it. And I'm glad everybody, he got in there. Oh, Justin Bieber didn't go in there. Like, I don't care about Justin Bieber, but some of the ladies did. But anyways, yeah. just enjoyed it. I mean, it's this nostalgia effect, so I was impressed. That's going to do it for today's show, and thank you all for joining me here on Sports Talk from the Crib with your favorite sports host, Tanner Christian. Remember, new episodes are aired every Tuesday and Friday. It's available on all streaming platforms, as well as on the website at sportstalkfromthecrib.com. So give us a follow on the website. And check us out on social media. We're at Feel the Heat Entertainment. It's Feel the Heat ENT on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and X. Thank you all for joining me again. You all have a great day. See you Friday.